Last week on the Source blog, in my opening paragraph, I mentioned that Microsoft is becoming the new IBM. As I was reviewing my notes, I started questioning myself. What does that even mean? How did I qualify that statement? So this week, we're going to talk about Microsoft, how they're changing as a company, what their current market position is. We're going to discuss some of the recent changes that they've made to their business model, and we're going to compare it to how IBM is operating today and how that is probably not perceived as a good thing. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast episode 91. Since last week was so heavily dedicated to acquisitions and acquisition news, we're going to skip this week. Plus, there's not really any new news except for DXC purchasing a company and them getting into the government services business again, which they just sold off. I'm not exactly sure if that's a conflict. Haven't done the research yet. So this one will have to wait, or I'll probably just ignore it. So on to our main story. Microsoft, are they becoming the new IBM? And what does that even mean? When the media asks the question, is Microsoft the new IBM? They're not necessarily saying that as a compliment. The reason why it might not be perceived as a compliment is because IBM has had dozens of straight quarters of loss. They're losing ground in professional services to offshore companies in Accenture. They don't sell desktops. That went to Lenovo. Some of their server division went to Lenovo. They are still focused on mainframe and storage at the moment, and also creating chipsets. Let's not forget microprocessors. IBM also had a lot of revenue streams that you might not even know about. Things like point-of-sale systems and other true business machines, international business machines. Those revenue generators that the public might not even be aware of because they're focused on computers and more high-tech solutions, those brought in a lot of money to IBM over the years. You may not know that IBM actually designed the barcode system that we use in the grocery stores, and they actually did that for free. But the genius of that situation was that they sold all of the scanners and the devices for the point-of-sale systems and made a ton of profit. I went off on a tangent, but the point is, IBM was considered an innovator for half a century. And in the last 10 years, really the last 5 or 6, they have been struggling to engage their customers and the marketplace. I have spent at least a dozen episodes on how I think IBM could innovate and progress to the future. Their focus on artificial intelligence, cloud, security, and big data, it's a solid strategy, but they have to weather the storm and transition into this new company. And as IBM transitions into this new thing, Microsoft is doing the same thing. Let's go back to 2013. There was a Forbes article that asked, is Microsoft the next IBM? And things were very different 5 years ago. There's one major point that author Todd Hixon made that I want to bring to light and share with everyone. Todd goes through all of the competitors of Microsoft, Google and Apple, and how vulnerable they are to future growth. And then he gets into Microsoft, and I quote, "The least threatened is Microsoft. Neither Apple nor Google nor anyone else is making serious inroads into the enterprise, and neither has a strong enterprise skill set. You can view making Windows 8 a mobile-first OS as a smart defensive move on Microsoft's part. They have little risk of losing the corporate desktop, as Windows 8 numbers attest. So aiming Windows 8 at the corporate tablet market, with some phone participation too, is a way to secure the flank of the enterprise business. Keep the iPads and the Android tablets at bay. Meanwhile, Microsoft is working hard to expand its position in the cloud with services designed for its enterprise customer base." What makes that article so interesting is the recent announcement that Microsoft is stopping development on their mobile platform. Microsoft got into the mobile market very late. Apple and Google already had inroads by the time Microsoft purchased Nokia, which was a disaster, and then also when they started developing their own mobile operating system and trying to develop an apps ecosystem. That really is the killer situation for any new phone system that's trying to come to market. By all accounts, the Microsoft phones were beautiful pieces of hardware. Almost everything that I read about them said that the hardware and the way that the cameras and the interface worked was great. The problem was nobody was developing apps for it. This is the same problem that killed BlackBerry. One of the key mobile guys from Microsoft went on Twitter and basically said they were designing apps for other companies just to get users onto the platform, and they still couldn't get traction. Why is mobile so critical to Microsoft and these other companies? For Microsoft, it's a matter of a unified Windows platform. That article from 2013 laid out a vision where a Windows user can shift seamlessly between their desktop, a tablet, and a mobile phone. And there's already prototypes by Hewlett-Packard of a Windows mobile phone that could be put into a dock, and you would have a fully functional Windows 10 desktop. Honestly, if they kept going in that direction, that is an awesome traveling and productivity tool. Going back to the unified Windows platform, if Microsoft has 0% of the smartphone market, the unified Windows platform is strictly limited to a very specific target audience. The unified Windows platform is a common set of APIs that span Windows, the PC, the tablet, the Xbox, and this is important, their HoloLens, their holographic technology that they're trying to introduce into the market. And they are very focused on this HoloLens. This common set of APIs make it easier for developers to build applications, and it's easier to update these apps because they're all connected. But if Microsoft abdicates the mobile space, that really lessens the appeal for developers to work on the UWP. As Microsoft's focus shifts towards cloud and enterprise, people are starting to wonder where the consumer products are going to be left. Not only did Microsoft announce the end of their mobile platform, they also recently announced the termination of their music streaming service, Groove. This product was a competitor to Spotify and Google Music and Amazon's music service. Microsoft announced that they are terminating Groove as a music service, and they're moving customers over to Spotify. So is Microsoft really getting away from a consumer focus? While some are saying that Microsoft getting away from mobile is going to hurt them long term, the reality is they've tried for almost 10 years to make some kind of impact in the mobile market, and they have been ignored at every turn. Should they continue to throw good money into a dumpster fire? It makes sense that Microsoft would eliminate the Groove streaming service if they're getting rid of their mobile platform. But does that mean that they're abdicating their entire consumer market? They still have Xbox, which is huge, and they still have these grand designs on 3D, virtual reality, holographic stuff. And I have to imagine that the consumer market is a key vehicle to get notoriety and information about that technology out to the masses. And even if Microsoft decides to abandon the consumer market entirely, sell off the Xbox platform, focus entirely on enterprise users, does that put them in IBM's situation? Historically, IBM had a business model where they not only sold you tools or technology, there was also a very hefty services contract that was associated with it, usually multi-year contracts. IBM sold you the equipment and then sold you the people to bring it in, configure it, and get your business running. So they typically made money on both ends until they didn't. Unless you really pay attention to IBM, I don't think people really understand how badly their shrinkage in the consulting market hurt them. Those big money contracts that are now going offshore, that resulted in IBM eliminating around 100,000 jobs over the last few years. And as consumers are moving away from servers and big machines into a cloud platform, that's another revenue stream that IBM has to write off or sell off or figure out some strategy to mitigate those losses. Microsoft was never in the hardware business. Not really. Sure, they have a couple of laptops that they sell and they're well regarded, but Microsoft never sold servers. Microsoft doesn't have a huge consulting arm. They don't have the overhead problems and transition problems that IBM does. As Microsoft is taking their already existing assets and shifting them into a cloud focus or a subscription-based model, their software is a much more logical fit to move to the cloud. It's already end-user focused, and customers are already conditioned, thanks to Google, to do their work in a web browser. Let's look at the financials between IBM and Microsoft. Currently, Microsoft's market cap is $597 billion. Their stock performance has been a steady climb up for the last 5 years. In 2012, their stock was under $30, and today it's almost at $78. IBM, on the other hand, their current market cap is $137 billion. In 2013, their stock was at $215. Today it stands at $147. IBM, especially over the last few years, has been accused of manipulating the stock with cash buybacks and making organizational decisions based strictly on stock performance, not on how to enhance their market condition. Honestly, I do think that Ginni Rometty has been actively working to stop that practice and to get the company in a healthier place. So what's next for both of these companies? If IBM continues to focus on their Internet of Things, their sensors, their big data approach, their artificial intelligence, they have a shot at winning. Their challenge is they were early to the market with artificial intelligence, and their solutions are very expensive. The competitors that are sneaking up behind them, like Google and Amazon, their solutions are going to be cheaper. And I have a suspicion that they're going to be easier to deploy. And they're going to have to figure out how to adjust to those market conditions very quickly. But I also see blockchain being a bright spot for IBM. They really jumped on that one quickly. They don't have much competition, and they're investing and developing an ecosystem that I think is going to really take hold and put them in a market leader position in blockchain. Microsoft, they're going to continue with their cloud strategy. More of their software is going to be available in the cloud, and from that perspective, they're actually going to look more like Google. What about their consumer model? I could easily see Microsoft selling off Xbox. There's a lot of competition. There's a lot of pressure to consistently innovate. There's small margins on the hardware. But I could also see Microsoft start to get competitive with Amazon and Google on the home assistant market. There's an insidious aspect to these home assistants that we don't often talk about. It's not necessarily the security aspects of these things always listening. All three of those companies are investing heavily in natural language recognition and automation. What that means is they want their computers and their bots to understand natural human speech and also replicate it. Amazon has this huge advantage because they sold those Amazon Dots for like $50. Every time I go over somebody's house, they have one. And every time you talk to one of those things, they're getting better and better at understanding how humans talk. And that is going to be worth a lot of money for call automation and call centers. And Microsoft has their sights on that kind of market. Microsoft has their own AI solution with Cortana. It hasn't made nearly the progress that Google and Amazon has. But they have this technology, and they have designs on how to use it. So I can see Microsoft attempting to get those things into people's houses somehow. And I think the concept of selling a specific product, a little puck that's in your house, is a secondary goal. Primary may be having millions of people interacting with the software to make it better. AI is a huge focus and goal for Microsoft in the coming years. And it's going to be very interesting to see how they interact in the market with Google and IBM and Amazon. AI is truly going to be the next point of conflict between these four companies. And right now, all of them have a shot at being the market leader. And all of them have their own unique take on how to do that. And as a potential buyer of those services, whether it be enterprise or consumer, I'm really excited to see what these companies come up with and the fact that there is healthy competition that's going to drive prices down.
And that's all we have for this week. You can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mandarin, New Jersey, and it's produced by my dad. The outro is performed by me, Ben Lombardi, and music is provided by Patrick Lee. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.